Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio, and we're here until 5 a.m. on this Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up straight out of context. Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. And we are going to talk about some weird celebrity backstories and behaviors. They're weirdos anyway. And Vic Vaughn is going to join us for two segments of Vic's Picks. As he goes down his musical journey. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. And if you have any consumer-related questions or concerns, you can text them or call them to us right now at 312-981-7200. It's time for our monthly visit with Herb Weisbaum. He is the Consumer Man, covering all the consumer issues. You can check out consumerman.com for more information. And let's get Herb on the line. Hiya, Herb.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
All right, sir. How are you?
Doing just great, thank you.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, welcome to the show once again.
Thank you.
And so tell everybody about yourself there, Herb, as we do every month.
Sure. I've been covering Consumer Beat for almost 40 years right now, believe it or not. I work at a radio station in Seattle. I write for NBCNews.com, a column every week. And I have a website, ConsumerMan.com, where I post all the stories. So it's real easy to find, since in this digital world, stories disappear after about 24 hours. So it's got an archive of all my stories. And I just like to help people save money, be smart, and especially avoid the bad guys, because there's way too many of them out there trying to rip you off.
Absolutely right. And you join us once a month to help everybody out, and you can take some phone calls and some texts, as well as talk about the latest consumer issues and stories. And again, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text.
And, 312-981-7200. And if you hear the doorbell ring, my nephew is coming in from Chicagoland.
Oh, is that right?
And he better have Illuminati's pizza with him. That's all I can say.
Yeah, they're very
popular. If not, Uncle Herb is going to have a little talk with him afterwards.
Well, so. Now you know, Herb, that you can get those delivered frozen to you.
I know. I've actually thought about that.
Yeah, you get them, just throw them in the oven for a little bit, and boom, you've got Lou Malnati's in Seattle.
Yeah, you know, Hanukkah's only like 5 months away,
for
a guy who visits every month on the award-winning radio show.
I'll keep that in mind as Hanukkah approaches, Herb. Outstanding. So what have you been up to? We're going to talk about some news stories, but what else has been going on?
Oh, just working on a lot of really, really interesting things going on. I mean, there's some scammy things and some great ways for people to save money. It's been really weird here. A couple of sunny days and then a couple of really cloudy days. I saw my first hummingbird out back in the back deck today, which is always a good sign that things are happening. So I love when those hummingbirds come around.
There you go.
And other than that, everything is just that July 4th was a lot of great fireworks, but the poor dog goes crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so we actually got a little doggy downers for him this year. Really, really mild dose, and he just stopped shaking, which was so nice because it just so traumatizes the animals. Not the big ones in the park, but the kids send them off, or the people send them off in the neighborhoods.
Sure.
It just drives the dogs crazy.
So we were
able to take care of that this year, and the cat could give two hoots.
Yeah. Well, you know, I know cats from I had a couple of cats who freaked out.
Yeah, and some do. But this guy, he just like, okay, sure, fine, fireworks, that's great.
Yeah. Well, you worry about that, and you worry about people with post-traumatic stress disorder.
You know, absolutely.
It's terrible for them and for the PTSD sufferers and for animals. And I've never been a fan of July 4th. I got to tell you.
Yeah.
But
and
anyway,
people have blown themselves up, and we had fires start.
Of course.
Just, you know, it's just forest fires, and it's just terrible. So.
It is. But anyway, you know, by the way, you were talking about weather. We are going to have 6 to 7 days in a row well above 90.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be real fun. So
yeah, my nephew said it's going to be nice to come back home and cool off just a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's get into our first story here. There's a credit card company that's actually launching some new credit cards that aim directly at millennials and Gen Z. And you wrote a piece about that. Tell us all about it.
Well, anyone who's had a college loan recently probably knows the name Sallie Mae. They're the giant student loan lender, and they're going to get into the credit card business to try to expand their business, and they're aiming these cards at current college students, recent graduates, and young adults who are already in the workplace. They have clever names, Ignite, accelerate, and evolve. They're all MasterCards, and they all have no annual fee, and they pay cashback rewards on every purchase. And I can go through the individual cards separately, but overall, these cards, here's what they do. They let you set, they've got all the high-tech bells and whistles that young people like. So you can set customized alerts, daily, weekly, or monthly spending limits, so you can stay within your budget. You can set your own alert. You can actually pause the card, which is a really cool safety feature. So the app will let you disable your credit card if you lost it or misplaced it, or you left it at the restaurant and you don't want to go back right away or whatever. That's really cool. And then for the young people, they all come with cell phone protection. So if you pay your monthly cell phone bill with a card, you get up to $600 per claim in cell phone protection. And the Ignite and the Accelerate also offer bonus rewards for responsible financial habits. So all these pay cashback rewards, but you get higher levels of rewards for the first two levels of cards, Ignite and Accelerate, if you're a responsible borrower.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and are there subtle differences between the three cards?
Yeah, do we have time to go through at least some of them?
We can get through a few of them. Yeah, we got about 3.5 minutes
okay.
here.
Because I know Vic's got to, you know, do his thing. All right, so let me go through to the bottom of the hour. So the Ignite card, that's for the college students, and the goal is it's a student card to help them establish credit for the first time, plus making bonus rewards for making those payments on time. So it has a 0% introductory APR for purchases made during the first 6 months, which is great, and then after that, the interest rate will be variable, 15 to 25%, basically based on your credit worthiness when you open the account. That's about standard. You earn 1% cash back on every purchase. After you make six consecutive on-time payments, the reward jumps to 1.25%. And here's something I like. The credit limit on the Ignite card is set at $500 for the first 6 months. That's deliberate. Even if you ask for a higher credit limit, they will not give it to you, and they will not boost the credit limit without you contacting them. They don't do it automatically like some cards do because they want to make sure the kids don't get into trouble.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. The Accelerate card, that's for recent graduates. It's the only cashback card that offers a bonus rewards, that is, if you pay down your student loan. So 0% introductory on APR purchases for 12 months. The first one was 6. This is 12. Then it switches to the variable rate again. Cardholders earn 1.25% cash back on every purchase, but they get an extra 25% bonus on any cash rewards that they use to pay down a student loan. And it doesn't have to be a Sallie Mae student loan. It can be any student loan. And then the Evolve card is for those who are out in the marketplace and are a little bit more experienced with credit. And it has a novel twist. You earn 1.25% cash back for all purchases and then another 25% bonus on the top two spending categories that you make each month. So, for example, if you spend the most on gasoline groceries this month, you get 1.50% cash back on those purchases, 0% APR introductory for 12 months, followed by the variable interest rate. So they're pretty interesting. And just to give you the bottom line, I asked two big experts what they thought about this, Ted Rossman at creditcards.com and also the folks at NerdWallet. He said, and I quote, "They're decent cards. You could do a little better with other cards, but you could also do a whole lot worse. Just don't feel compelled to get one because you have a student loan with Sallie Mae. You need to shop around." And he said they don't offer as much value as some existing cashback cards, but I think when you're young and starting out, you should worry about other things and not how much cash back you're going to get. And then the folks at NerdWallet, Sarah Rathner, she's their credit card expert, said the cards have some unique features, but I wouldn't call them earth-shattering. So there's something to definitely consider, and they may be right for you if you're the student, if you're a recent graduate, or if you're in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't remember how I got my first credit card. It's been that long ago. But what do these people have to go through? What do these kids have to go through in order to get a card?
It's not really that hard because Sallie Mae has designed this knowing that the hoops they have to jump through, they know these are students and starting out. So when they look at these things, they've already had that factored into what they're going to do in the approval process. I think the question is, should a student have a credit card? And I think there's no problem with that. A lot of parents think that their kids should have a debit card or they want to send them money by a peer-to-peer app or a prepaid debit card or something like that. You got to remember that you don't build up any credit history if you use a debit card or you pay by check, or your parents are giving you money on a prepaid card. None of that is considered credit, so you're not starting a credit history. And one of the factors is how long you've used credit responsibly. This card will let you start building a credit history right away. And I like the fact with that first card, the Ignite card, $500 limit, 0% interest for the first 6 months. You can figure out about making your payments on time, and they won't up the limit for 6 months, so you really can't get into trouble. I think that's a really smart move on their part.
First credit card I ever had, Montgomery Wards, Herb.
I think mine was a Texaco or something, because gasoline cards and store cards, because they charge higher interest, are a lot easier to get, which is another way a lot of young people can get their first credit card.
Yeah. Okay, great. Herb, hang on, okay, man?
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's awesome. He's the Consumer Man. He's here to help you. Check out consumerman.com if you have any consumer questions or concerns. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. News is coming up right after this.
Go on, take the money and run.
Right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. That means all of our Friday features, Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and You Big Dummy, all coming up. We're going to talk about some weird, crazy celebrity backstories and behaviors. And Vic Vaughn is going to call in, even though he's off this week. He's going to call in, and we're going to do two editions of Vic's Picks as he is building up his musical knowledge while listening to every single album on the Rolling Stones Top 100 Albums of All Time. And we didn't do it. We didn't do a segment last week, so we're going to do two this week. And so after 3 o'clock, we'll talk with Vic. So that's all coming up. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. If you have any consumer-related questions or concerns, our friend Herb Weisbaum is with us, and it's 312-981-7200. Let's get Herb back on the line. Hi, Herb.
Hello again, Nick.
All right. You mentioned this as we were talking before, but we wanted to talk about the you also wrote a piece about peer-to-peer payment.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us about what that's all about.
Well, incredibly convenient and taking off, especially with millennials, names such as Zelle and Venmo and Apple Pay and Google Pay and Facebook Payments and Cash App. Really easy to send someone money from your checking account. Unfortunately, they have limited, if any, fraud protection, and scammers have figured out how to use them, and they're now designing scams to specifically target people using these peer-to-peer payment systems. According to the fraud fighters at the National Consumers League and AARP, they're getting a growing number of complaints from folks who are using these to buy things from crooks. And, it's a perfect thing for crooks. They used to like wire transfers because they're instantaneous, they're very difficult to track, and there's no going backwards. And that's basically the same thing with these peer-to-peer platforms. They're the perfect mechanism for scammers. All you do to get the money you need is a cell phone number or an email address. It's sent to you. It is gone. You can be anonymous, and it makes it really hard for the authorities to track you down. So people have to be really, really careful with these things. I spoke to one for the article, Annette. She lives in Arizona, and she wanted to get her husband a dog for his birthday, and she went online. It looked like a very professional site and everything, and the only way they accepted payment was with a peer-to-peer payment through using the app, which is, I believe, a very dead giveaway. I mean, most reputable businesses will allow you to pay with a credit card or something else. They don't limit it to a peer-to-peer system. And she made the $500 deposit, and then there was no dog, and she's out the money, and she realizes that she'll never see it again. She told me she realized that she sort of thought about it more at the time, but didn't really think about that. So it's a real warning. You know, the companies who do these made it really clear to me, and they make it really clear when you sign up for them, that these are designed to be a quick and easy way for you to give money to someone you know, and that's the key, someone you know. You know, you're at a restaurant with your friends, and you want to pay part of the restaurant bill, or you want to send some money to a family member or a friend, or you're sharing the rent with somebody, and you want to make your monthly rent payment or something like this. But that's really, really clear in the user agreement. This is only to be used for that kind of thing. You're not supposed to purchase things, and that's where people are getting in trouble, and the scammers know this, and they're setting up all kinds of things online, you know, buy this, buy that, do all kinds of things, and they're asking for only P2P payments, and that's where they're getting you.
Because I'm not familiar with these. This is an app that you download?
Yes, these are apps that you put into your phone, your smartphone, yes.
And then, so that's how you just pay it through that, then?
Correct, and it's using your bank account. And, I talked to one person who had a really good explanation for people. The way he put this, he was with the American Bankers Association, as a matter of fact, and he basically said that, consider it money. If you would not hand a $100 bill to this person you cannot see face to face, then don't use a peer-to-peer transaction. Don't give them the money, because it's irreversible. You know, if it's fraud with a credit card, you can go to the credit card company and ask them to help you out. This is like the money's gone, and you need to consider this to be a cash transaction. I asked the authorities and the people, the fraud fighters, about some tips. They gave me three basic ones, which I'll share with you and your audience,
please.
And that is, again, don't use these apps to purchase products. And they clearly said, and they had no qualms about saying this, if the online retailer requires payment via a P2P payment system, that's the only way they'll take payment. It's probably a scam. You should consider it that and do it accordingly. You need to double and triple check the address you're sending it to, the username and or phone number of the person you're trying to send the money to. This could be a legitimate transaction, but remember, if you make a mistake and send the money to the wrong person, if you get one digit of that phone number wrong or one letter in that email address wrong, you could send it to the wrong person and they don't have to give it back to you, and they may not give it back to you, and the app may not help you get it back because you sent it to that person. So you've got to be really, really careful. Don't do it when you're drunk and settling up your bar bill.
Oh, God.
I mean, unless you have it already preset, but you know, I mean, if you make a mistake, you know, you could be in trouble. And then they all suggested that you should, if you're going to use these, because it is the new wave, opt in for stronger security. Almost every one of these platforms, Nick, offers the ability to create a personal identification number, a PIN that you can lock this with, and it'll be required for any money can be transferred. You just want that extra layer of security that protects your money should your phone fall into the wrong hands, somebody steals it, you lose it or whatever. You want them to, and they see that app, they'll see a Venmo or a Zelle or whatever, they'll know, wow, money, I can start transferring money. That will keep them from doing that if they don't also have the PIN to that account. So that's a very, very important thing to do. And it's also important as more and more things we're doing on our smartphones. I mean, those are our little mobile computers. Those are our lives on there. Whenever you're offered the chance to have a PIN for that specific app or some kind of protection for that app, take it. Because if the phone falls into the wrong hands, if you lose the phone, somebody steals it, whatever, and they can get into your phone, they can use all the apps on your phone, your banking apps, and all that other kind of thing. Try to protect them as much as you can if they're offered.
And how long have these peer-to-peers been around?
A couple of years. I mean, I don't know an exact date, but they've been around for a few years. The one thing I just thought of when you asked me that is a lot of people are fooled about the fraud protection because Zelle is very widely offered by a lot of banks now. They're pushing that as part of their service package. And so that way people think they're getting the protection from the bank. And this is just a product that's being offered by the bank. They're not responsible for this. So you've got to be very, very careful with this and realize that this is something that's just being offered through the bank, and it's not the bank's product. And if you have a problem, you're going to be dealing with the app and not with the bank. So that's a really important thing. And a lot of people I spoke to who had problems got confused by that. Well, I went to my bank, and they didn't want to help me. Well, the bank really wasn't the one you were dealing with. You were dealing with the app here. And therefore, that's another step in between, which makes it a real pain if there is some sort of problem.
Have they rated these, you know, is Venmo, Zelle, Apple Pay, Google Pay, have anybody rated them on which ones are the best one that you should go with?
Yes, I did an article, which is on my site, but it was a long time ago, so I don't remember the results. Consumer Reports actually went through and rated all of them, and I can, if you give me a second, we'll talk about some else. I can go look on that. But the one thing that they pointed out was that some of these platforms also act as social media platforms. And what it means is that unless you accept that, unless you turn it off, all of your transactions, the whole world can see.
Wow.
I know people love social media, I just think that's bizarre.
Yeah.
So that means that, you know, for instance, your former girlfriend can see that you're now living with somebody else and how much money you paid for the rent that month or something that.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just total. We just share way too much.
Yeah.
And you got to turn that one off. That's a really, really scary one. When we come back from the commercial break, I will be able to find that article and tell you which ones rated the highest. But yes, Consumer Reports did take a look to see which ones they felt were better than the others.
Well, why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll talk about that. And we got a few more stories to talk about with Herb Weisbaum. And again, if you have any consumer questions or concerns, 312-981-7200. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he joins us every month. He's the Consumer Man. Make sure you check out consumerman.com. All right, quick break. We'll come back and jump right back into it with Herb Weisbaum.
pass me by.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Friday morning. That means all of our regular features will be coming up later on. We've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday. You can get your requests in now. DJ Luscious Hushus will be playing them later. 312-981-7200. We're going to visit with Vic Vaughn, who's been on vacation this week, but we've got to play a little catch-up with Vic's picks and his music education as that continues. We'll do that after 3. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right now, it is we're in the middle of our monthly visit with our good friend Herb Weisbaum. He is the Consumer Man. Check out consumerman.com. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Consumer Man. And if you would like to join us, the phone lines are open. If you have any questions or concerns, consumer-related, 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Herb back. Herb, welcome back.
Yeah, the first person who calls in will give a Lou Malnati's pizza.
No, don't say that. You can't say that, Herb. No, that's not going to happen.
Okay. We'll just tell you how delicious it was. Okay. I searched the Consumer Man website and found the story about the peer-to-peer apps.
Yeah.
So 90 million people are using these. More than 90 million people are currently using them. That's
wow.
A lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
And Consumer Reports last year, so I wrote this in August of 2018, which is why I didn't recollect which ones had won. They did 5 of the top ones, the first time they'd ever rated peer-to-peer apps. Apple Pay blew away the competition. They had an overall score of 76 out of 100. Consumer Reports liked its data privacy and payment authentication practices. They said that Apple Pay does a better job in that area because they appear to collect less information about you when you're using the service.
Okay.
And they're adamant that they're not selling this data to others, which we like in this day and age. Venmo scored a 69, Square Cash App 64, Facebook P2P Payments and Messenger 63. They lost points, believe it or not, for data privacy. And Zelle, which is a really popular one, only scored a 50, was downgraded for both privacy and data security. So that's the stack up on them. I did find a couple of other interesting things.
Yeah.
So Venmo is the one that has the social aspect, and unless you opt out, the public feed will show the comments and the emojis and anything else that accompanies your payments by default. The amounts won't show who you paid it to, but anyone, even non-Venmo users, can see what you paid if you split the rent or paid a lunch tab or what you did with the money.
That just seems really weird.
It's crazy.
It's really crazy.
Yeah. There's no reason for that whatsoever. And then I found 2 tips that I wrote before, which is really good, which is to keep your apps up to date, because hackers are always figuring out ways to exploit things to deal with money and financial services. So when it says it's time to update your app, it may help the usability, but it's probably designed because they found a patch for some vulnerability. So you really need to do that. And the second one is that some services, such as Venmo, offer the opportunity to get a special code to confirm that the person you're sending the money to is the person you intended to send the money to. And Consumer Reports said this is a really great idea, and any app that offers that kind of feature, you should definitely take advantage of.
Okay. Well, thanks for all that info, Herb.
That's why I put it on the website. Even I can find it.
And,
I have little pictures with the stories and everything. It makes it really easy.
There you go. Consumerman.com. That's where you should check it out. Also, tell everybody about the newsletter.
Sure. If you go on, you'll get a little pop-up where you can just look at the top of the website, and it'll ask you if you want the weekly newsletter. Just give me your name and address, and I will send you once a week an email that tells you what I've written for NBCNews.com and a couple of the top consumer stories from my radio station, Como Radio in Seattle. And it's just a great way to keep up to date on what's going on, and it comes to you every week. And I don't share, so I let anybody look at my mailing list. And every time I'm on with you, Nick, I always get about 20 people sign up from Chicagoland, which is awesome.
That's great.
And it's just a way for me to stay in touch with you, and I really love that people want this.
There you go. Get the newsletter, everybody. It's consumerman.com. Get in there, sign up for the newsletter. It's free, and Herb will help you out, and you should do that right now. All right.
And I always include the podcast that you send me of this broadcast.
Ah, there you go. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right.
One of the highlights of the once-a-month feature we have.
There you go. Exactly. So it's summertime, which means people are going to be traveling on vacation and all that kind of stuff. And, in fact, my producer's going away for the weekend. Tom, leaving this morning.
Hi, Tom. Have a good time, Tom.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Herb.
And, but you
go
have
to some place with air conditioning.
Yeah. So you have some, you want to help people to protect themselves while they're actually traveling around. What are some of the tips and the story that you wrote about that?
Well, obviously, if you're traveling, whether it's for business or pleasure, you're distracted because you're traveling. You're away from home. You're away from your comfort zone. And sometimes security is a little lower down on the totem pole than if you're at home. And so I just wrote a story about how you need to be careful with this. I worked with the folks at IBM's X-Force Threat Intelligence at IBM Security, and they've been looking at some of the common issues that befall people when they do travel and when they let their guard down. They did a survey, and here's what they found from the survey, that more than half of us worry that our sensitive digital information is going to get stolen when we travel, 52%. More than 70% then connect to public Wi-Fi or charge a device at a public USB station or enable auto-connect on their wireless devices, which are all considered risky behaviors. So we're afraid, but we do things that could possibly get us into trouble. And then one other thing they found that we did is that a lot of people bring their business laptops with them loaded with all kinds of sensitive corporate information when they go on vacation. If you don't need it and you're not working, don't bring it. Take your second laptop, a personal laptop, a cheap laptop. If you need to access your business stuff, do it on the cloud, but don't be bringing it could be stolen and you could be in really big trouble with your employer or whatever, and there could be all kinds of regulatory filings depending on what's on that laptop that would have to be filed if someone walked away with it. So you just do not want to do that.
Right. Yeah, this whole thing about charging your phone in public, there are scammers who somehow do something, then they can get your information.
Yes, it's called juice jacking, and it's not just theoretical. Actually, at the one of the hacker conferences they had in Las Vegas this year, DEF CON, I think it's called, they actually, one of the hackers actually set up a charging booth so people could charge their cell phones and then sucked all the information out of their phones to prove to them, see what I can do. When you charge a cell phone or a laptop that is different than charging when you charge a cell phone or a tablet that is different than charging a laptop. As you know, with a laptop, you plug the cord into the wall.
Yeah.
With a cell phone, for instance, you use the same cable, the same USB cable, that plugs into the port that actually sucks the data out and also puts the juice in the phone.
Wow.
Hence the name juice jacking.
Yeah.
So there have been cases where there can be compromised free charging stations where it could be set up by a con artist, and there could be also ones that have been hacked where they just put some bad software in there. There can also be ones where they've left cords behind, so you just say, oh, that's easy, I plug my cord in and that cord and use that cord, and then the cord is somehow malicious. And what do you tend to do when you're on the phone is, I'm charging, I might as well check my email while I'm sitting here.
Right.
So you unlock the phone and then give the bad guy access to all of your information. So the only safe way to charge your phone or your tablet while you're on the road is to put the brick on and then plug it into the wall. That is the safe way to charge your device when you're on the road. You just cannot trust an open public charging station, unfortunately.
Yeah. Wow. They're getting everywhere.
We're playing defense, and they're so far ahead of us. The other thing, of course, and we've talked about it before, but the survey showed how careless people are. As I said before to you, the reason it's called public Wi-Fi is because it's public.
Right.
Anyone can access the network. They can eavesdrop on what's being transmitted unless you use a virtual private network. This is a piece of software that encrypts all the data leaving your device. They can get all kinds of things off your device, and they can see everything you're doing if you just connect to the public Wi-Fi at the airport or on the airplane or at the hotel or at the coffee shop or whatever. Scammers have been known to set up their own Wi-Fi hotspots that maybe have the name of the hotel with one digit off. So maybe it says, Hilton Guest instead of Hilton Honors, or maybe it says Airport Free instead of Airport or whatever. You're connecting directly to their Wi-Fi, or they can just simply have a sniffer device that just sucks up the stuff before it makes it to the real Wi-Fi connection, and they pass it along, and they're sucking up all your data. I finally, because I travel enough now, I got a VPN. I use NordVPN. It's a very highly rated service, N-O-R-D VPN. It's one of many highly rated services. They had a deal, $100 for 3 years. And every time I travel, it just goes on, and it protects everything I'm doing, and I really don't have to worry about it. And in this day and age, that's the only safe way to be doing things. The other thing is, people don't realize this. They know that the stuff coming out of your cell phone is encrypted. That's one of the great things about using a cell phone, except if you have Wi-Fi turned on. That was the other thing this report pointed out. And your Wi-Fi connects to a hotspot, and then the phone is using Wi-Fi instead of airtime, and then everything that's going out is not encrypted. Another reason why you should keep your Wi-Fi turned off if you're going to use your phone for any kind of thing personal, like financial transactions or whatever, because if you're near a Wi-Fi hotspot, you could be picked up by the Wi-Fi, and your stuff then is not encrypted.
Wow. Okay. And then what about...
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff. And before we get out of here, you are also let us know that a lot of the cyber crooks are targeting travel rewards. This is a thing that they're doing now.
Yeah, it's like cash money. So they can break in, they can take the miles out of your account, and they can use them. If you're a frequent flyer and have a lot of miles, you might not even know if, 20,000 miles disappear or something like that. And the only way to really protect yourself is strong and unique passwords for each one of these travel rewards accounts. Treat it like another financial account. Just don't have a really simple, My Hilton or something if you're going to Hilton Hotel. Give it a really strong password and a unique one that's not hooked up to other travel websites or other sites. And then some of these sites now allow two-factor authentication. They will just check with you to make sure it's really you, and that's a really good thing to do. And whenever you're offered this two-factor authentication, yes, it slows you down by maybe 10 seconds. But you know what? I've seen and talked to people who've been the victims of identity theft, and as you well know, it takes a lot more time on the other side than it does that 10 seconds on the front side. Trust me on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, these are all good, as always, all good tips and some scary stuff out there. You also wrote a piece that we were going to talk about. We ran out of time. But if people want to read about you give some tips on bicycle shopping.
Oh yeah, it's on the website, but it's a really interesting finding. This was checkbook.org did this, and they found, you always think that everything is cheaper online, and they found that bicycles are not cheaper online in most cases. Some bikes they priced that were $1,000, the difference was $5 or less between one retailer or the other. So their advice is buy a bike if you want a bike at a good, reputable bike shop in your area. You can see all the models there in front of you. You can take a test drive, and the bike shop I spoke to said that doesn't mean a spin around the parking lot. That means take the bike and ride it. They can make sure it's properly adjusted for you and help you get the bike that's right for you. And they actually did breakdowns of bike shops in 7 different cities, and one of those was good old Chi-Town. So for the next couple of weeks, there's a free link on my story, which you'll find on consumerman.com, that you can get all the ratings from Checkbook that they found in the Chicagoland area. It's good till like the end of July, early August, but after that, you'd have to be a subscriber to get those ratings. So if you want to get them, just go to consumerman.com and look for the story, and then click on the bike, and you'll be able to get the ratings for that area. The other thing that did vary in price, Nick, by the way, and I know we're almost out of time, is the repair service. That is something where you really need to shop around because that can vary greatly from one shop to the other if you're looking for something for your bike.
Okay. All right. Herb, always a pleasure, my friend. Everybody check out consumerman.com, subscribe to the newsletter, and we thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you next month.
Always a highlight of my month, Nick. Thanks so much.
All right, buddy. Take care. Herb Weisbaum, everybody. Consumerman.com. The news is coming up right after this.